somewhere else, and their dads knew me from South Central LA, and so they would start writing me letters. But one of the things that I really enjoyed about doing prison ministry was that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I would have been in the same situation, because we had all grew up, all those young men, we had all grew up in the same neighborhoods, and we had all been in the same gangs, and we had all did the same bad things. But now that I was doing prison ministry, it was awesome because I felt connected. But one time of the year, because this is like 19 years ago, one time of the year would be the saddest day of the whole year for everybody. I mean, you couldn't get people to go to Bible study. It was like everybody was depressed. And why do you think everybody was depressed? They had children and they couldn't see them, and it was Christmas. So it was like Christmas time and nobody could see their kids. Nobody could send them a gift. Nobody could connect to the people they loved. So when they started the program for Angel Tree, they said we could find churches that would give a gift in your name to your child who's out there. And rather they're standing with their aunt or your sister or whoever, they would know that you remembered them during Christmas time. And so that's how this whole program got started about 19 years ago. Are you taping me, Pastor Ben? Okay. Who's a brother? We got a brother and sister here that really love each other. You gotta like really love each other. Huh? Okay. You two come here. You come here. Okay. We're gonna see. Okay. You guys really love each other? You sure? All right. Now, have you ever got a whipping? Huh? Have you ever got a whipping?
Spanking.
A spanking. A good one, though, that hurt. Like, ah! No? You ever got a spanking? Huh? You got a spanking, too? Okay, if he did something bad, would you take your whipping for him?
Yeah.
You would? That's love. If he did something bad, would you take a whipping for him? So you would, if I take the belt right now and I'm going to whip you, he did it, but I'm going to give it to you. Is it okay? Yeah? See, that's love. See, you know what you just saw? You just saw Jesus Christ. Because that's exactly, you guys can go back now. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. Okay? Because the cross was about your punishment, the things you did, but God didn't want you to take the punishment. So he said, I'll go to earth and I'll take the punishment for them. I'll be on the cross for them. I'll descend into Hades for them. I'll experience everything that they were supposed to experience because of their sin. Put it on me, and then I'm going to free them from it. So then when you accept Jesus Christ, you don't have to pay the penalty for your sins. This is a simple plan, right? But it's so hard to get into each one of us because the world doesn't cultivate us to know God. What does the world cultivate us to do?
Sin.
Sin, right? Why is alcohol and marijuana legal? You know what I mean? Why would they make it legal? Why would they make it legal? Does anybody know? I'm gonna tell you why. Because you may never get this education again. Okay, see all these beautiful children? When they were born, there is something in your brain called a pineal gland. For the first 13 days of every one of our lives, we can see both the natural world and the spiritual world at the same time. Did you know that? When you are 13 days old, that pineal gland closes and it's not supposed to open again until you die, because you're going to go back into eternity with God. It's a door that leads inside of you. Now, if a demon could get into anybody he wanted to, he would just pick anybody he chose. But what he has to do, he has to get you to open that door so that he can come in. This is how we have many problems in the world. So the fastest way to get the door to open that's supposed to be closed is alcohol and marijuana. So why did they make them legal? To keep that type of activity going in the world. And if you understand that, you won't play his game and you'll say, okay, you're not getting in this house. You're not getting into this. Okay? So that is, being a pastor taught me many things about God. Okay? And like I said, I grew up in South Central LA. Our homes are supposed to be a place that cultivates us into a godly culture. It's supposed to be a kingdom culture in your house. That means everything in your house is supposed to teach your children about God and about how to live for God and how to get to the kingdom, right? But if you don't cultivate your environment to God, there's something in the world called a cult. You know what a cult is? A cult is everything that's against God, okay? So, society teaches you everything that's against God. Your responsibility to your children is to cultivate them, to make them understand everything about God, okay? Listen, remember how innocent we were when we first started? We were just like all of these kids, right? Okay, we were just like all of them. And then somehow, from playing G.I. Joe and Atari, they don't know what Atari is because that's a long time ago. But sometime in between that, to become a teenager, we fell into different type of cultivations, okay? Because TV teaches you what? How to sin, how to do things against God, okay? Movies teach you what? How to do things against God. So where are you going to find out how to do things that God loves? Your parents are supposed to cultivate you into a kingdom culture, okay? That's their responsibility. My family's responsibility when I was young was not good because they didn't teach us about God at first. We had everything going wrong. I was a member of one of the biggest gangs in Los Angeles. I was a member of a gang called the Hoover Crips. And I started at age 12. I started smoking weed at age 11. Okay, so you guys got to understand, Satan doesn't wait till you get older. He wants you now, okay? So that means you got to start teaching your kids about Jesus now. From 12 to 17, I don't even want to scare the kids, so I ain't going to tell y'all everything that I went through, right? They'll be like, let's get out of here. But I was doing a lot of things, okay? At 17, one of the guys from our gang accepted Jesus Christ. And I came to school, and he had a Bible in his hand. Like, I got to tell you about this guy. I know guys that this guy did horrible things to. I mean, with guns. I know this guy. This day, he's got a Bible in his hand, and he's talking about Jesus loves you, and don't call me cuz, because Jesus changed my life. And I wasn't saved yet, so you know what I wanted to do?
Beat him up.
I said, man, you crazy. He said, no, you should really go to church with me. So I went to church with him, and for the first time I heard the gospel. What was the gospel? Somebody else took my whipping, and I don't have to take it if I don't want to. And I accepted Christ that day at 17. God changed everything. I started doing better in school. I started getting scholarship offers from different schools to play football. Everything was better because my mentality. I stopped smoking weed. No drugs, right? I didn't smoke. I didn't drink any more alcohol, right? Now, listen, you guys don't think that it's at just their schools. But listen, no, they can play because this is fun time. A lot of us parents don't know that this happens, but most of your kids listen to profanity all day before they get home. Them little kids at school be cursing. I pick my kid up. They ripping them. And I'm like, wow, this is a good neighborhood. This is not like South Central LA where I went to. These kids be cursing. And I'm like, so Satan is starting a program at a very early age, right? You have to change that culture. Okay? So at 17, I got saved. I went to University of Colorado, got a scholarship. I'm born again Christian. Went there for 4 years, signed a contract with the Los Angeles Raiders, played professional football. Everything was like different in my life because of my love for Jesus Christ. For God to get involved in your life, you have to accept him into your heart. You have to ask him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. If you never ask Jesus to come in your life and be your Lord and Savior, he will not do it because he doesn't believe in taking people over or having robots. He doesn't. He's a gentleman. So at some time in our life, the Bible says there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. At some time in your life, you have to say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I've sinned against you. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. I would believe that you rose again. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Before you meet him, you need to say that prayer. Because if you meet him and you've never accepted him, then you have to take your own whipping. And your brother or your father, Jesus, has decided, I'll take your whipping for you. You don't have to go through that. Okay? So if I had to leave one word with you, being in prison ministry taught me a lot of things. It taught me that if it wasn't for my mother getting saved when I was young and then start taking us to church and me getting saved, I would have probably been in the same situation that those guys were because I was doing the exact same things. So I'm thankful that you guys are here. For the guys that have family members that are in prison, you need to keep praying because prayer changes things, okay? Just ask God, have him meet somebody that knows Jesus, change his heart, change his mind. And we had a friend of mine that I was in the gang with the same time. He went to prison in 1980. He got out in 2011. And he came here and talked about how he changed his life in prison. He's back with his wife after all those years. He's with his wife. And he's with his children, his family. They all have a great relationship, but he changed his life while he was in prison. So I'm just saying, keep praying for them, because rather change happens out here or in there, that prayer to accept Jesus Christ still has to happen. Understand? Okay, so that's my speech. I don't want to, keep you guys too long. That's it. We have a lot of toys, and there are a lot of people that we need to thank. My wife's company, Cordova, and many other people who contribute to making sure that we have not just enough gifts for the little kids, but enough gifts for the bigger kids, because you don't want to give them a G.I. Joe when they're 16. But we have enough for everybody. I want to thank you guys for coming. This church, Soldiers for Christ, our main mission is we're trying to get 2 million people saved. That's been our goal since we started. And so we're going to try to make sure that everybody knows that Jesus Christ already took your whipping and you don't have to do it. Okay? So praise God. Let's get to gift giving. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah.